platform. Step up and speak out.
Good evening. Welcome to The Platform. I am Mona Lisa Dube, and I bring you this program every Tuesday evening from 7:30 to 8:30, where we discuss issues that are trending in the country. Now, as you know, media has become an important means of communication in this day and has played a crucial role in shaping public opinion. It has often been referred to as the fourth estate of democracy after the executive, judiciary, and the legislature. Now, the media is also expected to act as a watchdog of society, protect public interest against malpractice, and create public awareness. And media advocacy groups have often complained about how media laws in Zimbabwe have made it difficult for them to fulfill their roles. Now, the government under President Emmerson Mnangagwa's administration has promised to media law and policy reforms, and this evening we are going to follow up on these. In studio, I am joined by the Deputy Minister of Information, Publicity and Broadcasting, Energy Motori, founder and CEO of 263 Chat, Nigel Mugamu, as well as Nigel Nyamatumbu, who is the Media Alliance of Zimbabwe coordinator. Good evening, gentlemen, and welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, so I will start with either of the Nigels, really. do you think that the media in Zimbabwe is fulfilling its role as a fourth estate, as a watchdog of society, as a mirror of society, every other role that the media is expected? Do you think the media in Zimbabwe is fulfilling that role?
Well, which Nigel can go first? Okay, I think I can go first because maybe since I'm not inside more, you know, I think to be fair, the media is trying under the circumstances. Obviously, there are a lot of challenges accessing information. There are a lot of challenges insofar as trying to get you know, the media to be sustainable. You know, we have economic challenges and so forth, but that also presents opportunities, which is why the new media 263 charts and others, you know, are also getting in, including citizen journalists. Everyone is now a journalist. You're on WhatsApp and so forth, but we also do have professional challenges, obviously, which I would quickly say that we do not condone the violence against journalists. We are a professional sector that has professional ways of dealing with the media. We play a very critical role. So yeah, the fact that we've got a media in Zimbabwe is a plus. But we need more.
Is it really a plus? I mean, it's everywhere.
No. Well, look, we've got you know, other countries that may not necessarily have plural media. What we want, you know, as the Media Alliance of Zimbabwe, the coalition of media support organizations, is to have genuinely truly independent media, independent of government, independent of commercial interest, independent of various interests. Difficult as that may be, it is a real aspiration, and we've got codes of conduct, and that we also follow.
So you're basically calling for self-regulation of the media.
Absolutely, it's a key principle.
Okay, we're going to speak that in length. About Nigel. I think let me call you Sir Nigel. I mean, everybody knows you as Sir Nigel. So let me say Sir Nigel. You know, when I say Nigel, you know it's you.
Well, you say Nigel. Yeah.
Look, you know, so I'm obviously I'm the founder and of 263 Chat.
Which is an online media platform.
Online media platform, yeah. So, you know, we're a commercial entity. And what I want for Christmas this year is an enabling environment for us to do business. So if I invoice a client, I would like to get that payment maybe next week, or the week after.
Okay, before we get into your aspirations as this 2C3 chart, maybe let's talk about the role of the media in Zimbabwe. Do you think that it is we are fulfilling the role of the media in this country?
I think there's, in short, no. I think there's a lot of room for improvement. So if we look at our neighbors, Zambia, they've got over 200-something community radio stations. Right. When I think of that number, what I'm seeing, and this is my 2C3 chart head, what I'm seeing are jobs that are being created. Right. So there's a lot more that can be done. There are a handful of radio stations in this country. Right. So less than 10, really. And so when I look at the media, there are jobs that are created in the space. Sector. You know, I mean, there's obviously you, there's a guy behind the scenes, there's engineers, there's a lot of people who make this whole thing happen here at ZFM. So I look at it in terms of the jobs, really, from where I sit, right? And I just use radio as an example. You know, we could talk about print, we could talk about online, we could talk about, you know, the other media out there. Mm. So there's definitely a room for improvement, and I think we're on the right track, but obviously, you know, we're hindered largely because of the economic situation that we find ourselves in.
Yeah, I wanted to just the second by saying, well, look, if you really say no, and you know there's scope for job creation, we would then be talking more about just having plural media, you know. But we want more diverse, diverse in terms of ownership, diverse in terms of content, diverse even in terms of whatever, you know, be it ideology for that matter. So it has to be the diverse. Yeah,
we are taking your messages, we are taking your contributions. Our WhatsApp platform is 0731 168 045, and we are also taking in your calls. Our calling number is 0772 168 045. Honorable Mtodi, what is your response to the issues that have been brought about by Nigel and Stenage?
Yes, certainly these are issues that we are seized with, and we have scored in a number of areas that these gentlemen are talking about. Firstly, as we came in as a new government in the Second Republic, we have emphasized that it's not going to be business as usual. We are going to open up the media space through a digitalization program that, among other things, will broaden the number of broadcasting stations, be it radio stations as well as television stations. They are going to be increased. And what the Zimbabwe Media Commission has done in the recent past has been to register willing people who are interested in taking on community radio stations, also running privately on the radio stations, television stations, and so on. So by the end of the digitalization program, we expect to have come up with at least six state-run television stations, or what we can call state-owned enterprises, which are in the television sector. And we also have more than 20 privately owned television stations, and that also takes consideration of the radio stations that are coming on board. So that deals with the diversity and plurality of media that has been referred to by these gentlemen. Then also
when can we expect the six state run radio stations, the 20 plus stations that you're referring to?
I'm saying by the end of the digitalization program, which we are actually currently working on. The program involves a lot of technology.
Do we have a time frame?
It involves a lot of technology. I'm sure the last time I was here, I gave it as an achievable objective within the first 200 days of office, and that is maybe approximately 7 months. So that should be this year. By August, we must have completed the digitalization program, latest by the end of the year, to ensure that we have many more radio stations and television stations being registered. And their objective is to improve on our democratic space, the governance of the country, and ensure that there are more voices that are heard. People can feel to be participating in the democratic processes of the country, and then we can open up voices throughout the country and to also enhance public communication and accountability of those in leadership positions.
Okay, I'll ask you the same question that I asked the other gentleman. What is your opinion of the current state of our media? Do you think the media is fulfilling its role?
As a country, yes, we are one of the best in Africa. Well, our people are one of the happiest in terms of media coverage.
Really?
Why? Because we have had several privately owned media in the newspapers. We have Newsday, we have Daily News, these are prominent papers. We've got also online publications like His 263 Chat. They are coming on board, and we have had quite an interesting period since the coming in of the Second Republic. Also, you have seen the social media has been promoted. There is a lot happening on the social media, people sharing views, information flying around. So we are actually looking forward to improve on this, but already we are on track. Our people are among the happiest in Africa.
I respectfully disagree. No, of course. Happiness is very subjective. I mean, look.
Maybe before you go on, let's ask the people: are we happy in Zimbabwe in terms of the media that we have? Do send us through. Our WhatsApp number is 0731 168.
Well, the mic starts critiquing ZFM, but the fact of the matter is. The media should not have one narrative, you know, because it then becomes unrealistic. You cannot have people obviously naturally view things differently. It does not necessarily mean that they are fighting or whatever. So the media is a mirror of that. It reflects that, and that is why collectively as the Media Alliance of Zimbabwe, we call for just, you know, opening up whoever wants.
When you say the media cannot have one narrative, please explain what you mean.
Well, to just say we are all happy, maybe one may say, no, I'm not necessarily happy, or one may say I'm halfway happy, or I'm partly happy, and so forth. So those that are sad should have a platform to say, well, I'm sad, or those that are happy should also have a platform.
Okay,
to say
since
I'm happy.
We're talking about our thoughts or our take on media in terms of feelings, happiness, sadness, as a media, as an advisory, as an advocacy group of the media, how would you describe?
It would be insane for an advocacy group to say they've reached, because we can always get better, but we also take note of incremental gains to say what have we at least achieved. You know, we can be so boggled with saying, no, we can do better. At times we also need to celebrate, to say, the government is saying the right language. We are not yet to see much on the ground, but we are talking. I was just saying to Sir Niger that, you know, at times kana matox aramba taurirani, you know, we have to continue dialoguing.
Okay.
You know, and through dialogue. It's that's how we continue to be better and to reflect on matter of principle. We've got a constitution, we've got laws that are aspirational. So those
is government those responsive to the dialogue that you engage in them as the media?
Well, that's a very interesting question, that one. I think we dialogue with government. I mean, we've, as a publication, have gone and met with the government. We made an appointment. They agreed to meet us. We spoke to them, and we speak to them on a regular basis, obviously. So it's, you know, are they open to dialogue? Yes, they are, of course. But I'll agree with my brother Nigel here in terms of diversity. You know, I think it's important to have a diverse media, so diverse ownership, like he said, I mean, you know, if you look at radio stations, just and I'm picking radio because obviously we're here on radio, and I always mention my tete, Kumushao, you know, which radio stations does she receive? What, you know, what sort of information is she getting? You know, so I would love a situation where we have more radio stations, and obviously, you know, Honorable here speaking about how that's coming, you know, and that, you know, that should happen soon. So, look, you know, is government willing to discuss? Yeah, I think so. You know, Honorable here is on social media. I'm sure if we tweet him later on today, he'll respond. Yeah. You know, no pressure.
I mean, we are here with him.
No, we're here with him. Yeah, we're talking. Right?
This is dialogue.
You know, this is dialogue. You
okay,
know,
so
he agreed to be here. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure if he didn't, you know, he could be somewhere preparing for Champions League, right?
Okay, Minister Motsoaledi, when Cabinet approved the repeal of the Access to Information and Protection of a Privacy Act known as IPA on the 12th of February this year, government did say that the proposed laws to replace IPA will be tabled on the next Cabinet meeting and then sent to the Attorney General's office for drafting. Where are we with this? Progress?
Yeah, we need to understand the process of creating laws. It's not a day's event. It's a long process. First of all, it goes through the parliamentary legal committee that also handles the proposed laws that need to be added to the new bill. And obviously the bill will have to go through public interviews and also input from the Minister of Justice, Legal and Parliamentary Affairs, before it comes to Parliament for its first reading. And so that whole process, it's a very long process. But as you are aware, the President, in his State of the Nation address, His Excellency President Mnangagwa, really said that IPA would be repealed, and definitely it was cabinet agreed to repeal IPA. And what actually surprised us as a government was that there was no word from journalists and media houses to really congratulate the government on the repeal of IPA. Something they've been
maybe we should throw a bit of a party.
Yeah. That was something media was supposed to celebrate.
True. We cautiously celebrate, Minister, because, you know, we've had past experiences which have bent us before. So to say we agree on this and then it is not implemented.
So you feel it's premature to celebrate?
No. Well, it is good to celebrate. I mean, for the first time, we as within the Media Alliance of Zimbabwe, we had one of the media advocacy groups, Media Institute of Southern Africa, really being a technical partner. Now that is civil society directly influencing policy. We also had the VMCZ there, but we are also not in direct control now of what then comes out. So we will be then still hoping and then still advocating, you know, to say no, it's not that we don't trust you, but we want to see the final
action.
Product. Yes,
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So I was going on to look at the new items that we are going to be adding to the new law to control our media space. We
to
need
regulate, not control. You say.
Definitely, regulation is control. Our constitution is very clear. Our constitution is very clear on the freedom of expression. I'm sure it's section 60 to 61 of the constitution. Mm. And the new law that we are coming up with is to ensure that we have key media reforms that entrench democracy and good governance in our country. We also emphasize on the safety of journalists as they carry out their duties. We don't want them to be injured. We want them to carry out their duties freely.
We'll go there. Let's allow the minister to finish.
The access to information needs to be more liberalized. If we are to conform to our mantra of Zimbabwe is open for business, so we also need to ensure that access to information is enhanced. Then also the need for transparency and accountability that is enforced or superintended by the media as a fourth state. That is also part of the new law to ensure that public officials are accountable to their actions. And also maybe what has been happening before, we want to put to an end a situation where journalists have been put to court, troubled for publishing this and that. That is actually coming to an end. Then also, the other issues to do with the cybersecurity bill, that one is being worked on, and it's going to be available also to ensure that we add it to the Zimbabwe Media Commission bill too, so that we really regulate social media as well. So these are some of the issues that we are looking at, and also like people have been complaining so much about our programming and so on. This is why we are saying digitalization is going to add more stations, so there's more competition. And when there's competition, obviously
the quality gets better.
Oh, all right, honorable, like you said, that there's a process when it comes to all these bills and the repeal of IPA. Maybe not giving us detail on what the process is, but at what stage are you at now, so that we understand the progress?
This is the bill that is still with the Minister for Justice, Legal and Parliamentary Affairs. I'm sure they've already started the public interviews on the bill, and that process, I'm sure it has already been completed. I'm sure there's now a draft for the Media Commission bill that is now ready to be presented to Parliament.
Okay.
Once it's tabled in Parliament, it goes through a process like I've said before, the first reading, the second reading, and the passing in Parliament goes also to Senate and also to the President for his signature to be a...
So there is actually work that is being done there.
There's work that is actually being done on the Zimbabwe Media Commission bill, since we now don't have the IPA.
Yes. Okay, now you said something very interesting when you were passionately talking about what the bills entail and what we should expect in the media space. And you spoke about the issue to do with the safety of journalists. In this regard, I'll engage CNIH in this ink. You had an encounter in your premises last week?
I wouldn't call it an encounter.
Okay, please tell us what happened.
We were tear gassed, you know. Effectively, the police, ZRP, and the municipal police have a joint operation where obviously they're trying to get rid of vendors off the street. And so as journalists, as usual, we're based in the CBD, we're covering this, taking pictures and video as usual, right? And our journalist was then chased by an unidentified plainclothes municipal police officer, shall we say. And he came into office to seek refuge. Three police officers dressed in gear then followed him. And effectively...
Who sought refuge in your offices?
One of our journalists.
Okay.
LJ. So so there was a scuffle at the door where they're trying to pull him out, and you know, obviously we're trying to barricade ourselves in, you know, obviously because these guys were coming. There ended up being about 20 of these people. One of the police officers, dressed in full gear, fired a tear gas canister at LJ
and in the office.
In the office, hit his stomach, and of course, the tear gas, obviously, and then they barricaded us in the office. So if anyone who knows where we are, we're on the mezzanine floor. My team, about 15, 16 people who escaped via the window into the next office, and then they came down. I wasn't actually in the office. I was probably 15 minutes or so from the office when this happened. My PA is on maternity leave at the moment. I shudder to think what would have happened had she been in that office. I shudder to think about anyone who's asthmatic. In our offices, I don't know, it's not a massive office, so let's call it 30 meters by 30 meters, say.
Minister Mtwadi, what is your response to that?
That's quite an unfortunate story that obviously would have warranted a police report.
We went to the police. In fact, we went to so journalists marched. Marched is the wrong word.
Well, yeah, we demonstrated.
Yeah. we went to Harare Central yesterday and to hand over a petition, and the police tore up one of the copies of the petition.
Okay, so there has been a police report.
Definitely it's a police case that will obviously warrant an investigation into what happened. I'm sure you were also talking of a municipal police officer. And you know that as government, we are not in control of these ones.
No, for sure.
They are really under the the council run the councils that run the city.
Mm-hmm.
So the, some of them, I've actually witnessed some of them myself, beating up people who sell their wares in the street.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the role of the police. The police are there to enforce the law, and to, they need to treat the public with respect and arrest people in line with the law.
But Minister Mutodi, is there cohesion in the government when it comes to issues to do with the media and journalists? Because you speak here and you're telling us about all these laws, all these bills that you put in place to ensure the safety and protection of journalists, yet we have stories like this. This isn't the first time we've heard something. We have similar stories that come up, I'm sure, as the media
country
gets over. So before you get in, Nigel, is there cohesion in the government to make sure that everyone, every aspect of government understands what it is that you're trying to achieve in terms of media reforms?
Definitely there is coordination. This is a serious government. This is a very, very well organized government. And why we as ministers of information, we don't run the police force. We don't run the Ministry of Home Affairs. So we expect journalists, when they have, when they see something that is, that violates their constitutional rights, they have to obviously make a report, and the investigations will be carried out. You need to also understand that police officers may, in their individual capacities, overstep their mandate and act outside the law. And the law must catch up with them. There's no one who is above the law. But you obviously, one cannot blame the government for a weird behavior of a police officer or a municipal police officer.
But what if it happens often?
If it happens, the more often it happens, the more we will need to see police reports against those. And obviously, our president is a listening president. Then we will need to know what's happening in the Ministry of Home Affairs.
But
why are those people not being reprimanded in their own police force or in the municipal police? Because obviously, if, even if we don't run these urban areas as they are being run by the opposition MDC, but of course, our Minister of local government is also authority to then talk to the mayor, to talk to the people who run these councils to ensure that they conform to the law. No one is above the law. That's
true.
That's true.
But also as the parent ministry responsible for it, we can just join hands and you know making noise when we have these petitions. Maybe you should also just
I wouldn't favor petitions as such. What is a petition? It's a demonstration of your opinion. It's a sign that you are not happy with something. But if a police report is made against the behavior of someone who has violated a citizen's rights, then that is the starting point.
This is the platform. This evening we are discussing media reforms. We are taking a short break, and after the break we'll be taking your comments and your questions that are coming through our WhatsApp platform. Do stay tuned.
Playing all the hits and more.
You make me wire, wire. Oh, baby, wire, wire. Denata, wire, wire.
We're the station that beats all the competition. And we'll prove it as soon as we hear any competition. The platform. Step up and speak out.
Welcome back to the platform. I am Annalisa Dube. This evening we are discussing media reforms, and in studio with me I'm joined by the Deputy Minister of Information, Publicity and Broadcasting, Energy Mutodi, as well as Nigel Mugamo, whom for the purposes of this show we'll call him Sir Nigel, founder and CEO of 263 Chat, because we have another Nigel, Nigel Nyamutumbu, who is the Media Alliance of Zimbabwe coordinator, and we are looking at the media reforms in this country. And before the break, early on as we started the program, Minister Mutodi did say that Zimbabweans are one of the happiest people in Africa in terms of media. And we did ask you the question, like, as Zimbabweans, are you happy with the state of the media? And are we going to be looking at some of the responses that have been coming through? As the media is captured by politicians and used for, it's being used to further a political agenda.
That's a question.
That's for me. That's a comment. It's a comment. How would you respond to that?
Government does not control privately owned media, and even those which are being called state media in courts, they are not really controlled by us. Those we, as government, we simply appoint the board, say for ZBC, and so we appoint also the board for maybe through the media trust again. We don't directly control what happens in the Herald.
So they have independent editorial policy.
Yes. So if the media, if the editorial policy of the Herald and that of the ZBC, obviously they are different from the editorial policy at a 263 charge, at AMH newspapers, at Daily News, and so on. They are definitely different. So that's a misconception, in to say the least. Politicians do not control what comes out in the media. I'm sure we have also talked about polarization in the media. We would actually want media houses to report factually, to report with professionalism and integrity.
Yeah.
That is what we are encouraging as a government.
I really agree with you on that one, because I was going to say editorial policy, because there's no editorial policy that says we support one political party over the over the other.
Exactly.
Will be partisan media. Yes, I mean we are free to make political choices individually, but once you are a journalist, you are neutral. You work based on principle. You work based on. You don't work on pushing, say, an agenda.
So you work with the journalists. You have a number of organizations that fall under you, your group. So what is the issue there when it comes to the issue to do with
editorial policy? Yes, which is why we're saying we need to be professional. But what we are saying now is when you are addressing the media, you don't then fight them or use violence and so forth, because we are actually an organized sector. We've got the self-regulatory body, the Voluntary Media Council of Zimbabwe, that you can raise complaints with. We also have the statutory one, which is enshrined in the constitution. So if you can just choose where to launch. Obviously we prefer that you come to the self-regulatory body, because we believe, let me make this point clear, we as journalists we don't say we are saints, which is why we also have media accountability. Mm-hmm. We also have to ensure that we continuously remain professional, true to our codes of ethics and true to what is guaranteed in the Constitution. Mm-hmm. So the Constitution guarantees protection of sources. The Constitution guarantees access to information.
So you also have a role to play as journalists.
Absolutely.
To make sure. Yeah. Okay, we keep on reading our comments. Our media could do better. We need more independent voices and not proxies who tore a certain line. Let's have real media freedoms and not cosmetic ones. For example, the 263 chat debacle. I think he is referring to the incident that happened. Okay, so I think you highlighted the issue to do with polarization. And when the President Emmerson Mnangagwa met with the Presidential Advisory Council, one of the members, Trevor Ngube, who is the chairperson of the Alpha Media Holdings group, he spoke about media polarization, and this is what he had to say. Maybe we can comment thereafter.
Our country is polarized. We can't build when we are divided. And as someone who comes from the media, I see the polarization in our society. I see the division in our society projected in our media. I'm hoping that my role in the PAC would be to play a role in helping to build a media that contributes to national unity.
So that was his take in terms of media polarization. How would you speak to that?
Yeah. It's tough. I mean, like what you guys alluded to earlier, I believe music or the arts sector, even the media reflects what is actually happening in society. And so clearly there's obviously, you know, there's a lot of polarization, there's a lot of politicization of certain issues and so forth. And I want to speak to the issue that you, the first comment you read, you know, there about, you know, some media organizations are this or are sitting here, you know, or sitting on this side or that side or supporting government or whatever. And the reality is, national unity has to go beyond just the media. There's clearly something that's not happening in our society that needs to be addressed, which is why it then is then reflected in the media. I mean, the one of the reasons why I created 263 Chat in the first place was because I wanted to create a media that because I saw what was actually out there on offer, right? You've got, I mean, if we look at the daily publications, you've got the Chronicle, you've got Herald, you've got Daily News, you've got Newsday, and I didn't like what they presented. So I decided to create a Twitter account as a way of creating some sort of dialogue, and it's obviously then evolved into a daily publication. But that's an example of me saying, well, I don't like what's on offer, right? Let me create something, and maybe there's someone else like me. And so the point is, we need more voices, we need more 263 Chats. Yeah.
You know? So do you acknowledge that our media is polarized?
Absolutely.
For me, I wouldn't necessarily. Well, look, it's a very subjective matter to say it's polarized. It may become a matter of semantics or just words to say, you know, because we might not. Okay, let's not get to definitions. But the fact of the matter is, let us be united for a cause. And for us, it's united in defense of the profession. Mm-hmm. And as a country, we must be united in defense of the principles that inform the country. But unity does not mean unitary view. Mm-hmm. You know, you will have your view.
Yes.
You will have your view. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you'll be like, okay, this is our profession. Uh-huh. What is best for our profession? Let's unite.
So how would you explain headlines like, okay, so this is after the Reserve Bank governor was at a parliamentary committee and was presenting progress after the monetary policy. And thereafter, there was two different headlines. This one is from a private media that says RTGS to devalue further. That is according to RBZ. Mm-hmm. And then another one from a state media says RTGS dollar to gain value. What do you think this is? Is it not how would you speak to these kinds of headlines?
Definitely, I'm sure Trevor Mube actually commented on Twitter about this and said that his papers had misrepresented and had misinformed the public by actually reporting reporting falsehoods about what actually the RPZ was doing. In fact, it was the RTGS which was actually gaining value against the
but green. This is a case in point, Honorable.
Yes, so polarization, if we were to trace it, let's look at it from a political point of view. You will find that in the pre-1980 period, we had the Smith government, and the media was concentrating on denigrating freedom fighters, describing them in all sorts of bad names, giving them names like guerrillas and so on. So that was the media portraying people fighting against the Smith regime. Then we came to independence. Media became more pro the state and reporting on development of programs that the ZANU-PF government was implementing, like free education, free social amenities, and it was a socialist system. Now, let's come to a period where there came opposition politics, the period around 1999, when they became the MDC, came on board, and so on, many other political parties that were not coming primarily from ZANU-PF. So there came now a media that is trying to fight the state. That's when we start to have media polarization because of the agenda of different media houses. The editorial policy is the one that is dictating what is the headline. So that is a problem that we need to then address.
Editorial policy of whom? I thought you, earlier on, you were saying that each media house has an editorial policy that doesn't speak to politics.
Of course, it doesn't have to speak to politics, but it is speaking to politics because we have got media houses which are actually out there to write in order to promote the opposition. to ensure that the opposition is viewed as being progressive against the state. So it then comes back to the professionalism and integrity of, yeah. of our journalists. Our journalists are not up to the level that we want them to be. Because if you then report badly about the government, yet you know that what you are simply doing is to promote your name in the opposition circles. That is very bad.
So you do not want to be criticized as the government by the media?
Yeah, there are journalists who want to grow through criticization.
So you do not, my question, you do not want to be criticized by the media as the government?
It's not criticism. It's reporting falsehoods, which they know they are protected by the constitution. No. We don't send someone to jail for reporting falsehoods. You can as well just retract the statement. But already damage would have been done. How do we tell that people who read the newspaper yesterday are the same people who are going to read the newspaper when you retract
your statement? How should they strike the balance between checking government on what they say they are going to do and criticizing maybe certain things that the government has not been consistent on and maybe promoting opposition? Where do we draw the line?
The line through the media ethics. If you follow the ethics, factual reporting, professional reporting, and don't try to be the voice when you are the reporter. Just tell us what people have said. If you have got a comment, then make it an opinion, not a part of the narrative. That is simple.
So, Nigel, you wanted to come in there?
No, I just wanted to say, I mean, you know, my mom, she doesn't know this, but you know, my mom, when I first started 260 Chat, she said to me, you know, mwanangu, zvauda kuita izvi zvino kusungisa izvi. Tell the truth. That's what she said.
My
mother's a strong Christian,
thank
right?
Yeah.
So she just said, no, just tell the truth. So, you know, when I look at true. Us, at what we're Amen. Trying to do, you know, there's clearly a gap. If we look at the media space, there's extremes. And what we try to do is to sit in the middle, right? So some days government does something that's, you know, that we think, oh, that's great. The other days when we're like, but government, what happened? You know what I mean? You know, and the same thing with opposition, same thing with business, same thing with any topic that we're discussing, you know what I mean? So I may be the media owner. I love Man United, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's me. Mm. But 263 Chat doesn't like Man United. And that's fine. That's important. You know, there's got to be a separation between what we do as an organization and then what I have to say.
Yeah.
So as an owner, I don't get involved in the editorial at all.
Thank you very much, and you're doing the right thing. If you're an owner, kindly just invest in the media, you know,
and
get your money.
Yeah.
Don't try and influence our work, because we just want to inform the public. You see, people think media
who is influencing your work?
The people. It is the people. It is the people. It is the people that pretty much set the agenda. The people, you know, they're the ones that say, you know, pretty much. News follows what people.
But
are
the
talking
people
about.
Do not work at 263 Chat. The people do not but work at various.
Yeah, but we meet people everywhere. We meet people at church.
But you are the ones who then write the articles.
We just assess.
Are you not taking responsibility of some of, according to Minister Mtodi, falsehoods that the media is writing?
No, we don't. We don't support falsehoods. Falsehoods is you know, it's certainly, and there are mechanisms to address that.
Okay.
You know, if you have evidence that whatever has been said is false. You know, you come forward, you present it. This is false.
Yeah, and I think it was today or yesterday where one of the daily newspapers actually retracted a statement.
Yeah.
So anyway, according to the State of Journalism Ethics in Zimbabwe report by the Voluntary Media Council, they say the quality of news reporting in the country has declined due to political interference, polarization, corruption, among other issues, including what they call checkbook journalism where journalists are receiving bribes. And it was also found that this has been a disregard to ethics by Zimbabwean journalists. How do you speak to that? This is a question.
It's happening. It's happening. I mean, it's, you know, it's, look, if we,
is happening?
What you just said, like brown envelope journalism, it's happening, right? But if you look back at why is it happening? I mean, you know,
the root cause.
You know, let's tackle that. I mean, look, we don't, like, our economy is struggling, right? You know, not a lot of companies are advertising. There's not a lot of advertising bucks going around. You know, you ask the question, who dictates editorial and so forth. There are pressures from advertisers, you know. Look, you guys are talking about the health sector being in trouble. You know, we're
so journalists are receiving bribes.
Definitely.
So, what does it mean? What is this? How does this affect the content that we then read, the content that we then hear, the content that you then tweet on your platform?
So, for example, you know, one of the things that we, you know, I always encourage this. You know, I say this all the time whenever I get a chance to speak, and you know, today is an example of that. Look, you know, we have to be discerning consumers of news content. Read something and ask yourself some really basic: can this be true? You know what I mean? I mean, how many times do we receive something in a WhatsApp group? It's clearly not true, but then we forward it to someone else. You know what I mean? Right? You know, so...
But you are online media. You're mostly the victims of fake news. Every time when something is online, someone has to say, is this really true? Unless if they see it on a print paper, that's it. They say, oh, so maybe it's true. So how are you dealing with issues to do with fake news as an online platform?
So for example, you know, so what we've done is, as 263, we decided that in 2017, late 2017, we decided to introduce the e-paper, for example, right? It's a news of the day published on that day, which we send out to our subscribers via WhatsApp, and it's a PDF, it's in PDF format. So it makes it really, it makes it harder to play around with. That's one of our ways of trying to deal with fake news. We also obviously take a lot of time and effort to report accurate news, and it's very hard to build a reputation. Right, and it's very easy to destroy it.
Yeah.
So if you're going to spread falsehoods, I mean, there's certain publications that I'm sure my big brother here, you know, Honorable, would not even entertain. I mean, I don't want to mention them, but if they called him and said, "Can we do an interview?" he will say no. Right. So you know, it goes back to what are you trying to achieve? If you're trying to achieve, sensational tabloid news, lots of hits to your website. A lot of falsehoods, then that's fine. But if you want to actually, be an authority in terms of the media space, then you have to do the right thing.
Before we get into that, Nigel, I want to engage with the issue to do with bribery. Well, how are you dealing with the issues to do with bribery? Because it's easy for us to sit here and constantly speak about how the government is stifling media, yet you're constantly, like what Nigel said, Sir Nigel said, that acknowledging that you're getting bribed.
If a journalist asks for a bribe, report that journalist to
what if they don't want their story to be out in the papers?
If they don't want the story to be out in the papers,
that's the whole idea.
So there are two parties involved, isn't it? There is one that is accepting a bribe, and then no one that is bribing. so it is not then a problem necessarily of the media. It becomes a societal problem to say, how do we now deal with corruption,
and I also want to add, you know, we shouldn't assume, let's never make this mistake of assuming that the general public are stupid. They're not stupid. They can see, you know, if the Herald publishes a story and then Daily News publishes a story, they can see through and say, okay, what is the truth here? You know, what is the general truth? And so they're not stupid. They know, you know.
Yeah.
They know what's going on.
Minister Mtwadi, what is currently, what is government doing in terms of regulating the online media spaces?
Yeah, the online, like I've said, is that we are coming up with the cyber security bill that regulates the content that one can send. I'm sure this also tackles the WhatsApp, Twitter, and so on. That will ensure that people do not just play around with the public minds and publish falsehoods on social media. It's going to be a crime when this is passed into law. So we are doing quite a lot on that to ensure that social media is actually controlled, and that will then stop radical intervention measures like the switching off
but Honorable Minister, how can you control thought? Because is it social media someone who is just pretty much saying out what they think? Look, I think the idea that we need to move away from is control. Control.
I think. Well, let me just jump in. Sorry. I think honorable minister is trying to say here is that I can't just come onto my Twitter account and just publish something false about you, right?
That's damaging. Yeah.
And just say, I saw this guy doing X, Y, Z.
No, that's wrong.
You know what I mean?
In fact, let me just give an example where we have had situations where lovers, they've actually sent nude pictures of a former lover.
Mm.
You know that you are no longer
in a revenge porn
good relationship.
Yeah. Yes. Mm.
So they sent that.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's the law what's going to deal with.
Mm.
To regulate such behavior and actually make the person accountable and go to jail.
Mm.
So it's quite a very good law that is coming to deal with social media.
And in terms of licensing, Honorable, I think after some consultations you had with the different media stakeholders, you did say that you're going to be giving out a schedule of license. When are we going to see the next schedule of you calling out for licenses?
For which type of media?
For broadcast media, for television and radio.
Like I've said, that it's all hanging on the digitalization process, and also right now we have media houses that have already got the licenses. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's only that maybe by the time the licenses were issued, the issuing authority didn't have a board or something like that. Something that that needs to be ratified by the new board.
Mm.
That's gonna come to regulate the new media players. But that is already coming. We will soon publish once the board is in place and it then authorizes the company or the
certain
pass that out to do it.
Yeah, I think it's important to really acknowledge that government is trying, and then on these processes they are consulting. And what I would actually urge members of the public is when they are going to bring out media laws, they will still go to public consultative processes. Also guide us of the media that you want. We at times when we are professionals, we may want to think that we know everything. We also don't know everything. And then we would also want you, the public, to tell us the media we want. But we have principles that are enshrined in the Constitution, and that we cannot move away from, because that we've already voted for in the referendum. And we want constitutionalism. You know, let's have access to information, freedom of expression.
All right, so as we round off the program, what is the way forward in terms of media in Zimbabwe, in terms of how journalists conduct themselves, in terms of ethics, in terms of state media, privately owned media, polarization, all the things that we've discussed during this program? What is the way forward? I'll give each of you a chance to say something. Maybe I'll start with Minister Mutu.
Definitely, every one of us is a responsibility to ensure that our media is improved and meets international standards. Zimbabweans need to celebrate that this government is trying to open up the media space and give it all the rights that it needs to have to ensure that they publish what they see and what they hear fearlessly and are able to then spread their news without any hindrances. And the government is there to protect them. We are on a mission to democratize the country, to entrench democracy, and to ensure that our society is an informed society that then attracts investment and business. We have said Zimbabwe is open for business. That's the mantra from our president, His Excellency President Mnangagwa. So we need to also help him to achieve that vision, to open up our country to business, and that also it requires a journalist to have some professionalism, integrity, and to actually do their job with professionalism. So that's what we are urging our
journalists. Sir, I've just
do.
Remembered something. At the beginning of the program, Nigel spoke about citizen journalism, and he said that everyone has become a journalist. And now when you go to certain events, you see that a number of people from, you know, you're not too sure which media organization are from, and they have these press cards. How do you determine who a journalist is, and how is the ZMC making sure that they are accrediting the actual journalist?
To say that everyone is now a journalist is a blunt statement. It's too general over generalized.
Yeah, okay.
We will require accreditation of journalists when you come to cover certain events.
Mm-hmm.
You see, but on social media, that's why people are saying everyone is not a journalist, because you can post anything. Everyone has access to a smartphone. You can post, you've got access to WhatsApp, Twitter, and so on. But that doesn't mean you are now a journalist.
Yeah.
For you to cover a state event, we need a press card. For you to cover like an independence celebration where the president is officiating, and also journalists will be interacting then with security for government officials, so they need to
that's
be
what
to
I'm
register.
Asking, how do you determine who's getting a press card?
I hear what Honorable Deputy Minister is saying here. He's saying if you are a professional journalist, you need to have some sort of identification to say, I am doing this work professionally. After all, a journalist, we define them as those that make a living out of it. That is the IFJ definition.
But they have to be trained, do they not?
They have to be, of course. You go through media ethics to be taught what the ethics are. You go through, you taught what the laws say and so forth. But as a citizen, you are free to express yourselves, and there are channels. You can also write an opinion. If you are lucky, you get it published. You can. But the moment you say, I am coming to cover an event, and I'm a journalist, look, journalists don't just look for negative stuff. They also look for positive. They also, in fact, they just seek to inform and to tell the story in its correct narrative, so when you see these other stories of people, like you said, you can't just use the word journalist loosely, because if I'm having a drink with the minister Chitora Nyaya, atama journalist because it's Chitora Nyaya. No, you go through the mill, and you become professional.
And your last thoughts on the way forward for the media in Zimbabwe?
Let's continue.
What
to
does
dialogue.
That even mean?
No, let's continue to dialogue. Let's continue to dialogue, and continue to engage. We've got a constitution as the deputy minister here says. There are some gains as the media of our demands that we have made, that government has, number one, acknowledged. And they've also pronounced themselves to say, well, yes, indeed, we have heard your concerns. They've even brought us into their processes, and that is something to actually celebrate. But at the same time, we should also continue to keep them on their toes, because if we then just continue to celebrate, they also may be relaxed, but it is how we do it. If we want to fight fire, they'll fight fire with fire.
I agree with my brother Nigel there. Dialogue is obviously key. That's what we need to do going forward, and not just dialogue with like-minded people. I think I don't know about you, but I tend to learn a lot more from people that I generally disagree with. I'm an open-minded person. And so, in all these discussions, I think we obviously need to be respectful, but we also need to be very open to another way. I'm not in government, for example, but for me to understand what government is doing in the media, I then need to engage them, And sometimes some of the things they will say I may not agree with, and they may not understand me, but we've got to find each other somewhere there. I'll also just say, just as a general public, I think we also just need to be cognizant of what is actually happening, and you just be aware of things like fake news. What does it actually mean? Like I said, we need to be discerning consumers of news content, right? We need to understand that there are implications when we share stuff that isn't necessarily true. We shouldn't be defamatory against other people online. We shouldn't say stuff that we that is not true. What the Honorable Minister here was saying about media accreditation, I'll speak for 263 Chat. All of us are accredited journalists, so we actually went to the media.
Are they
commission.
Trained journalists that you employ 263 Chat?
Definitely. I'm the one who's not trained. right? Everyone else is a trained journalist. You know, they've gone to various schools, whether it's MSU, NAST, wherever they've gone to, to get the thing. But we are all accredited journalists with the Media Commission. Anytime we come and report a story, we can produce that accreditation and show you that we are journalists. I encourage the media, or I encourage the general public, to ask members of fellow journalists, look, to produce that, so that
they're asking them questions. Yes.
Yeah. Just say, look, are you a journalist? Show me that you're a journalist. You know, Deputy Minister was saying.
So everyone has to play a role, even the public, when they are approached by a so-called journalist. You need to ask them to produce that.
Yes.
All right, we really need to round off this program now. It's been an interesting discussion. Thank you so much for coming through. And what I'm taking off from this show is that Deputy Minister has promised us that we have migrated from analog to digital by the end of this year, and we should expect more players in the media space. Thank you so much for taking time to come through the program. We have the Deputy Minister of Information, Publicity and Broadcasting, Energy Mutori. We also had Nigel Mugamu, probably known as Sir Nige, the founder and CEO of 263 Chat. And lastly, we had Nigel Nyamu Tumbu, Media Alliance of Zimbabwe coordinator.